Welcome to the Lagan Valley Vineyard podcast. We are a community passionate about seeing Lagan Valley filled with the presence and the teachings of Jesus. If you would like to connect with us or if we can help you in any way, please visit our website, laganvalleyvineyard.com.
So good to see you all. That was abrupt. Usually it takes you longer. Good afternoon. If you're a guest or a visitor, we really hope you feel at home and very much at ease with us. You are so welcome. Just before I invite Heather to join me, I just want to reiterate Emma's invitation for you to join us tonight at Seek. For any of you that were here last Sunday in the 11:30, you'll remember that there was a corporate word given in tongues, and I jumped up and interpreted that as summary. Basically, it's time. It's time for us to seek the Lord. It's time for us to let go of things that hold us back. It's time for us to move into all that He kind of has for us. And a friend grabbed me in Hearth after the service just to say that they'd been going through a particularly difficult time for a number of years. And I don't know if you've ever been through something like that where you've struggled to sleep, but a number of weeks ago, they were in that kind of space and woke up in the middle of the night, as was kind of normal for them. And they did something that wasn't normal for them. They just decided they would ask God if there was anything He wanted to say to them in that space and in that moment. And so they're lying there wide awake, and God, do you want to say anything to me right now? And they said that they felt like God spoke as clearly to them as they'd maybe ever heard before. And what He said was, it's time. It's time for you to stop surviving. It's time for you to thrive. And then they went to church that Sunday. They were in a different country, and they went to church that Sunday, and the sermon title was, it's time to thrive. And then they traveled back to Northern Ireland, and they came to gather with their own church family, and someone shared a word in tongues, which I don't know if particularly normal for this particular friend of mine. And then I stand up to interpret that as God says it's time. And there's two things that really struck me and struck my friend. One was how kind God can be to us sometimes when He wants us to really get something and hear something. He does us three different times in three different ways. But the other thing, and in some ways, often more significant than the words God says, is the fact that He says anything to us at all, that He sees us whenever we are in difficult times. He sees us, He knows us, and He cares, and that's who He is. And so tonight is, we've done this for years, where we gather in here on a Sunday evening to worship, to seek God together, but not every moment is created equal, and we do really believe and sense that we're in kind of a significant moment, and it's time for us to seek God together. And so can I really encourage you to prioritize coming out tonight. Hey Ez, how are you? And we're really, really expectant tonight for that. So some of you maybe have been engaged in the rumor mill this week. We sent an email out on Tuesday. We were announcing a church plant this Sunday. I had at least one phone call from someone. Where is it? Where is it? And they guessed, and they were wrong. I said, you'll just have to wait until Sunday. We were going to do a big reveal, but then we thought it would actually be harder to get cards into all of your hands if we did that at the end, and so we put cards on your seats. So there is no big reveal. Hopefully you've looked at the card, and by now you have realized that we are embarking on a new church plant in Banbridge. But would you join me in welcoming Heather as she comes to share some of this story and journey? This is very exciting. It's a very significant moment for us as we share with you guys Lagan Valley Vineyard's first church plant. You should know that multiplication, the desire to see the things that Jesus is doing among us spontaneously expand beyond us, is part of normal Christianity. And it's class that we get to kind of talk about this this morning. So let's go back to the beginning a little bit, Heather. We've done the big reveal. Everybody knows it's Banbridge. That's exciting. Tell us a little bit about how you got here.
Okay, so this conversation started in April 2022. I had been studying for a master's in Kingdom Theology with WTC, and really the reason why I had gone back to study, especially going back to study theology, was because I felt like God wanted to speak to me about calling. And I was a few years in the WTC and was still asking the question, what is it that I'm called to? And so I had texted Andy and said, I wonder, would you meet with me and we could just talk about some of what I feel like God is stirring? And so Andy and I met in Hillsborough, and I said to Andy, listen, I don't know if this is what it is. I really want your help discerning this, but I think there's something about a retreat center. And these are the four things that this retreat center would be, and told him some values of this retreat center. And Andy listened to me, and after a minute, he just said to me, Heather, if it is a retreat center that you're meant to start, you know that we will 100% be behind you. But you do know that what you're describing also describes the church. And in that moment, I was like, oh, no. I didn't know that what I was describing also described the church. But in that moment, I was like, it was almost like I had this moment with God of like, oh, this is what this is. This is what this calling is. I'd always felt like I was called to church leadership. So I became a Christian at 14, or just before I turned 14. And I became a Christian through reading the Bible. So listening to God, hearing God through scripture is a really important part of my story. But really within a few months of feeling like, of becoming a Christian, I began to have this internal feeling that I was called to some type of full-time Christian work. And so a few months after becoming a Christian, my youth leader came and said, Heather, so I grew up Presbyterian, and came and said, Heather, we've been asked to do a youth service. We think that you should preach at it. And I was like, what? Like, I'm 14. But I preached my first sermon in Craigie Presbyterian at 14. And probably from that moment, I knew there's something on this around leadership, around communicating God's word to people. Like, I knew that that's where eventually I would end up. So
we had that coffee. You said retreat center. I said maybe church. What happened then?
Yeah, so Andy then said, well, do you feel called to church leadership? And I sort of explained a wee bit of that journey. Like, yes, that's the reason why, you know, I went to Bible college at 19. Like, it's the reason why I've made certain decisions. But really, I came out of Bible college and sort of have ended up in youth work ever since. So for the last 15 years, I've been running different youth centres in different places, one of which is Banbridge. So I ran a youth centre in Banbridge twice. So we talked through all of that and some of the history of that. And then Andy said, well, you know, do you feel called to church plant? And I was like, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. I was like, but I do feel like God has called me to pioneer something new. And God had been clearly speaking to me for the few years before that about pioneering new things, and that's what he wanted me to do. So I was like, I don't know if it's church planting. And so we had a conversation. I asked Andy really loads of questions about whenever LVV was formed. You know, how did they know? How did Mark and Yvette and Andy and Dana know that it was here, know that it was Lisburn? All of those types of questions. So I went away from that conversation, and for 6 weeks, I didn't talk to Andy. I don't know if I avoided him, but...
No, you did avoid me. I wasn't offended. It was just very clear to me what was going on. Just before we go on, I think it would be really helpful because, like, what we're wanting to do today is obviously share some big news for our whole family and some stuff that we're doing. But also one of the reasons we want to share this story is because God's talking to us all the time. The question is whether we can hear him. And if you pay attention to the words of Jesus in the Gospels, you'll see that he says all the time, after he teaches, he says, let those who have ears hear. It's like a weird thing. You're sort of wondering if, you know, first century Israel, a bunch of people walking around without any ears. But of course, he's not talking about actual ears. He's talking about learning to hear God's voice and how that's actually not a guarantee for us. It's all to do with the posture of our hearts. What we actually long for, how open we are to the things that he says. Because when God speaks, more often than not, what we actually get is challenge. Now, of course, God is a God of comfort. But my experience with the voice of God is more often than not when God speaks to me, I think, oh my goodness. I don't know if I can do that. So, Heather, just explain this a little bit before we move on about not just the what I was saying or you were saying, but I think it'd be really helpful for people to hear a little bit about your emotional process. Because we didn't have an argument, but there was definitely, I don't know whether verbal sparring is the way that you would describe what was happening. As it didn't go retreat center and I said church, and she was like, oh yeah, it probably is church. It was like, no, I think it's this. And I said, well, of course it might be that, but it might also be this. And Heather was like, I don't think it's that, I think it's this. And turns out I was right. But
like all men think they're right, yes.
So now you're getting a sense of what the conversation was like. I think it would be helpful for people to hear just a little bit of your... What were you feeling? What did it actually feel like for you in that moment?
Yeah, so I think whenever Andy said the words, you know, but you do know that what you're describing also describes the church. I do think it was almost a moment between me and God where, I don't know if you've had a moment like this where all of a sudden you're like, that's what it is. Just a real realization. And in the midst of searching and asking questions, it was like, oh, that's what it is. But I think for me, there was definitely a question about timing. It's interesting that we have been talking about timing for the last few weeks. Even in work this week, we were talking to the students in work about kairos timing. And in the Bible, kairos timing is different to chronos timing, which is like where we get the word chronological from. But kairos timing is like an opportune moment. Just as Andy said, not every moment is created equal. And so, yeah, so I think for me, there was a question of timing. I was like, Andy, you know, I do feel called to church leadership, but I don't know, is this the time? And I think one of the things that we talked about, I was like, I am single doing this, and I would want to be married before stepping into something like this. I understand the weight of what I would be taking on. And I think... we really then had a conversation back and forth of, but why would you allow that thing to be the thing that stops you from doing what God has called you to? And so I think that really became maybe the theme as well, as I did begin to discern, was the reasons. I kept telling people, you know, people would meet me and then all of a sudden start to say about church planting, and I'm like, Why is this happening? I almost started to feel like I had this t-shirt on, ask me about church planting. I think I'm called to church planting, because people would come up to me, you know, and say things. And I remember I was at a vineyard retreat and a lady came up to me in the coffee queue and was like, I think you might, there might be something about church planting with you. I was like, yes. This was after a while, you know. But I then proceeded to tell her all the reasons why I was not called to this. And so I do think there was probably a lot of that wrestle for a while, and that was a big part of the discernment process. So.
And I think it's really important for us to recognize that when God begins to talk to us about things, like almost every time, He talks to us about things that feel like they're beyond us. You've heard me say this so many times to you, that God has designed you to be dependent upon Him. That's really annoying. Because, like, I feel most comfortable when I'm dependent on me. Until, of course, I come up against a problem that I can't solve. And that's when I discover real life. That whenever we open ourselves up to the voice of God, He does whisper to us about living a life beyond what we're capable of living on our own. And if you're a normal human, when you start to hear that voice, two things happen to you. One, you think you're a bit mad. Like, I have this conversation pastorally with people all the time. Once they finally get to the coffee shop, they're like, I have this mad idea. Like, I don't know if it's me, I don't know if it's I'm losing my mind. I don't know if it's I'm not getting enough sleep, or it might be God. And the other, if it is really God, is we are so aware of the gap between who we are and what we have and what God's asking us to do. He always asks us to live a life beyond what we think or believe is possible for ourselves, because that's where we become dependent upon Him. And this is really, really important, because if you start to open your life up to the voice of God and you think God would only ever ask you to do things that you're capable of doing, you will turn off His voice straight away. That's what happens. I'm in this fun dialogue with my sons at the minute. They're 11, around hearing God's voice. And they're like, why is it not just like your voice? And I'm like, I know, that's annoying. I feel like that sometimes too. But we have to learn how to hear. And the way we learn to hear is we've got to learn how it sounds. What are the kinds of things He says? This is why the scripture is so important for us. But if we think He will only ever ask us to do things that we feel capable of or qualified of, we will never hear His voice. Because His voice is always wrapped up in things that feel impossible to us. So, we had the coffee shop conversation. You avoided me for 6 weeks. You then went and you did a bit of a deep dive into some of your own life with God. Journals, your history, the things that you feel like God had said to you before. What was that like? What were some of the things that you kind of tripped over or came across in that, as I was sort of gently saying, I think this might be church planting, Heather.
Yeah, so I went away from the conversation and I really was like, God, I know that church leadership is something You've spoken to me about for 25 years. So that probably wasn't really so much the question, but the question was, God, have You been speaking to me about church planting? And so I began to look through old journals and I was really shocked at how many times I had written about church planting in my journals, but never had connected the dots that God might want me to do it. So in 2016, I found in one of my journals I'd written in 2016, I had been doing Compass at the time here in church. And one of the things that we were asked to do in Compass was to write an impossibility goal. On the very first day, it's like something that is totally impossible for you to do. And so I wrote down, I should have a conversation with somebody about church planting. To plant a vineyard church, that would be mad. So that's what I written down. And somehow, well, I actually did send in different goals and totally lied about my impossibility goals. But I sent maybe lesser impossibility goals, things that didn't seem just as impossible in. And
so let me ask you this question, because I think this is really important for us too. Forget about now, go back into kind of 2022 or even before that, whenever it's in a journal, people are interrupting you at conferences, anytime you go for prayer ministry, this is the thing people are saying. Did you want to?
I think for me, I just hadn't connected that it was something that God might say, but I think as soon as we had the conversation, I was like, yes, that could be the thing. You know, to me, I'd been asking the question, what is it you want me to pioneer? I hadn't even thought this could be a church. But of course I would want to pioneer a church. So I think deep down, yes, I did.
But surface level?
But surface level, not a chance. Get someone else.
So again, this is really, really important, because depending on the speed of your life, and frankly, most of our lives are lived at a speed that's not really sustainable or healthy, what happens is we disconnect what's on the surface from what's at the core. Most of us actually don't really know what's going on at the core. And so we live at the surface. And the surface is often quite shallow. And the other thing that is fascinating, I notice this all the time in conversations with people, the surface is often the opposite of the core. So that the core, the true, real Heather, who's fully surrendered to Jesus at her core, knows in her knower, as Uncle Phil Emerson would say, that God is asking her to be involved in leading His people and planting a church. But the surface Heather sees all the reasons why she's not qualified. It's going to cost loads. It's going to be really inconvenient. And I'd just rather not. Thank you very much, Jesus. And you see the disconnect. And this is what happens to us all the time. Jamie Hawthorne's a brilliant example of this. So Chris asked Jamie, who helps run our youth and kids work here, Chris asked Jamie a number of years ago to get involved in youth. And, Chris, and Jamie's response is, I'm not really interested in young people. And yet somehow he decides, well, I should probably be investing my life in something. And so he says yes. Fast forward 2.5 years. And I don't know too many people who are more passionate about seeing the kingdom of God come alive in young people than Jamie. What's going on there? See, we have this idea that God only asks us to serve in areas that we're passionate about, or God only asks us to do things that we're really aware of how much we care about it. But something happens as we say yes. Sometimes we discover things about ourselves that we never knew. I'm actually deeply passionate about this thing. I never knew. In fact, I always thought the opposite. And if you're going to learn how to hear God and say yes to him, one of the things that we have to be prepared to do is to say yes to things that on our surface level we go, I'm not sure I'm interested in this at all. I have said, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, what am I doing here? Like in my life with Jesus, I've said that thousands of times. What am I doing here? Situations, circumstances, projects, initiatives, relationships, life where I'm like, what is this? It's as we say yes to God that we discover who we are and who he is. And we have to somehow divorce ourselves from this idea that God will only ask us to do things that we're already excited about. Not my experience. Sometimes, for the lucky few among us. But most of the time, it's an invitation to lay our lives down and to something that scares the living daylights out of us. So let's talk about the discernment process. I don't know how much you guys pay attention to kind of what's going on in the wider church landscape. Hopefully not very much at all. But one of the things that's really interesting that's been going on over the last number of years is the kind of like leadership fails, for want of a better term, have become really public. And some of them have been catastrophic. And there's an awareness in the wider culture around toxic church leadership, toxic church cultures and behaviors and all those sorts of things, more than any other time in my life. I think, for being honest, it's not that there's more of that going on than ever before. I think we now just have decided that we're going to publicize it and talk about it and put it in the public domain. And that's a conversation for another day, although I do welcome some of it. But one of the things that seems to be crystallizing around toxic church leaders and cultures is this idea that the person who does my job gets to decide what God is saying. That it's my job to hear from God, and it's your job to accept what I say. And if you didn't know already, that's really unhealthy. That the mind of Christ exists within the body of Christ, and that we discern what Jesus is saying together, and we've lots of different teams and structures in terms of how we do that in this community. But it's really important that you understand that whilst I did have an opinion in April 2022, and I was actually, if you'd asked me at the time, I didn't say this to Heather, but I did think it when I was leaving that sooner or later we're going to be in a conversation like this in front of all of you. That was quite clear to me at the time. But that didn't drive the car. That we then entered what we call, as the Vineyard Movement, a discernment process that involves lots of different people, and there's lots of things involved in that. So you tell us a little bit about what that process was like for you, what was involved in it, what were some of the highlights and lowlights?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so after 6 weeks, Andy and I had met again, and I had said, listen, I do think there is something in this. And whenever I was thinking about where this would be, I kept thinking about Banbridge. Every day I was going into work and encountering families and young people who just have really difficult things going on in their lives. Many of them, if not the majority, not connected to a community of faith. And so for me, it became really quite evident, like this could be a church plant and this could be Banbridge. And so I then, after those 6 weeks and we chatted again, entered into an official process, an official discernment process with Vineyard UK in Ireland. And so that process involved multiple questionnaires. There was an assessment that I had to do that was like 500 questions about my life. There was a very long discernment interview of about 6 hours long, so that Andy wasn't even a part of. And so I think one thing to point out about this process is that it has not been done in isolation. This hasn't been something that Andy and I have just discerned. I have met with other Vineyard church leaders. I've been having conversations with many different people. So that really has been the discernment process. I also did Vineyard's Leadership College, and that helped being around, I suppose, leaders from different parts of the UK in Vineyard as well. And really, as that sense began to grow, this is what this is. I think that really helped in the process.
So it's important for you guys to understand that there's two major things that we are doing in our discernment process as a movement. One is we're asking the question, is this what we actually together as local church, as individual that's thinking this, and as movement, is this what we feel like God is actually saying? Do we together discern that? And then the second part is, where is the person that thinks they want to actually do this? Where are they in their journey of actually being able to do it? I had a conversation last year with one of the guys in the Church of England who's in charge of all of their church planting kind of projects and programs. And he said to me, you know your movement's mad, right? And I said, what do you mean? And he said, we just would never do this the way you do it. You guys are our heroes, because usually what they do is they get a lovely big team and they find a building that's empty or about to be empty, and they build a big budget, and then they send anywhere between kind of 30, 50 or 100 people to go and revive something that used to exist. When we started 12 years ago, we got a laptop that arrived 11 and a half months late. Now, thankfully for Heather, we now provide a bit more than that, and we're going to talk about what we actually are going to do as a church as part of this process. But for us, it's a fairly mad old thing that the individual discerns, the church discerns, and then together we say, right, let's go and see what God does when we show up in a place. And that's incredibly challenging. It's incredibly stressful. There's a guy, a psychiatrist in North America, who helps Vineyard pastors a little bit. I have been on the receiving end of his help from a time or two. His day job is preparing SWAT teams for the stress of their job. And his professional opinion is that church planting in the Vineyard is at least as, if not more, stressful than what those guys do. And so the 500 questionnaire is really intense. Like, I don't know the last time you sat down and like answered 500 specifically crafted questions about your life and how you live it and lead it. But it's really, really important for us. It's not about pass-fail. It's not about let's find out all the secrets. It's about where are you and how ready are you to step into this thing. And I said this in the 9:30. Church planting's like parenting. There's no such thing as ready. But there are some things that you would be really well served to have figured out before you embark on that adventure. And so part of this process for us has been working with Heather around where are the gaps in training and in experience and in all of these sorts of things. And that's part of what takes the kind of time. And we get to this moment where we feel like most of the readiness is done, and it's time to let everybody else in on the story. Heather, we want to change gears slightly and talk a bit about what's actually in your heart. Like, as we've journeyed this, and as you've listened to Jesus, and as you've invested in Banbridge, what is it that you want to actually see there? What is it you want to do there? We have, we can change the slide, guys, to there is a name for the church. And that's a whole process too. I'll not bore you with, but you don't get to just call it whatever you want. That has to be submitted to a bunch of people for lots of reasons. But anyway, it's approved, and that's what we're calling it. Tell us a bit about what's in your heart.
Yeah, so if you want to have a wee look at the cards that we have given out this morning, Wellspring is actually a biblical concept, so it's found in the Bible. And wellspring really in the Bible could be a fountain or a spring of water that is an inexhaustible supply and the source of life and joy. And so I love that as a definition of what we want to do. In the Bible, in the Old Testament, God is described as the fountain or the wellspring of living waters. And one of the things that we feel as a church is that we want to help people return to God as the fountain, as the spring, as the wellspring of their life. And so that's really what we feel passionate about. Whenever I was praying then, after discerning, and I suppose during the discernment process, asking God, well, what is it that you have for Banbridge? The two pictures I had, firstly, was of a fountain. So I saw a picture of a really old fountain, and it was in the middle of a field. And there was kids playing in the waters of this fountain. There was people sitting alongside the fountain and just talking about what was going on in their lives. But then there was these people who would just come and drink who were so, so thirsty. And really, that's one of the pictures that we have for this church going forward. The second picture was of a field of wild flowers. Notice that both of these pictures are set in a field. And we're used to metaphors for the church of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, being a building. But actually, there's a verse in Corinthians where it talks about you are God's field. And so the second picture of a field was of a field of wild flowers. I saw heather, the plant heather, planted in it, and then wild flowers all around. And as I looked at these wild flowers, which I think represent some of the people who are going to come to be in this church, I felt like God said to me, they are wild and beautiful as you are wild and beautiful. Now, I don't know why people would call me wild. Over the years, a few people have. but actually, wildness is even nothing to do with character or certain behaviour. But I think there's something really positive about wildness, of doing something unpredictable, something that has not been seen before. And that's what I feel like God is speaking over this church, that we're going to be a fountain, but also that we're going to be a field of wild flowers that's going to attract people who are maybe slightly wild, but that God's going to bring about such beauty in it. And so let me read Isaiah 35, as I have been praying about what this could look like. Isaiah 35 is really the verses that I felt like God spoke. And these verses actually have both a picture of flowers and this fountain, this wellspring imagery in it. So listen to this. So even the wilderness and desert will be glad in those days. The wasteland will rejoice and blossom with spring crocuses. Yes, there will be an abundance of flowers and singing and joy. The deserts will become as green as the mountains of Lebanon, as lovely as Mount Carmel or the plain of Sharon. There the Lord will display his glory, the splendor of our God. With this news, strengthen those who have tired hands and encourage those who have weak knees. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong and do not fear, for your God is coming to destroy your enemies. He is coming to save you. And when he comes, he will open the eyes of the blind and unplug the ears of the deaf. The lame will leap like a deer, and those who cannot speak will sing for joy. Springs will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams will water the wasteland. The parched ground will become a pool, and springs of water will satisfy the thirsty land. Marsh grass and reeds and rushes will flourish where desert jackals once lived. And so I suppose that's really the picture that we have of what God wants to do, of bringing life as we return to him as the fountain of living waters, that then that's how we grow and flourish. So,
Amen. It's beautiful. Before we talk about practically what's actually happening, I just want to highlight something for us in the room also, that I think you said 25 years from first sermon, something like that. This is the other thing that I think we miss all the time when it comes to how God works in our lives. Because if you read the scriptures, sometimes like a decade-long kind of time span or decades happens in the turning of a page. And we read these stories like life with God is like an exciting moment, exciting moment, exciting moment, exciting moment. Like breakthrough moment, breakthrough moment, breakthrough moment. And it's like a roller coaster. And then we look at our lives and go, I've got to put the bins out tonight. And I thought Jesus was doing a revolution in my soul. Like, my life feels so ordinary. And yet I read these stories in the scripture of these extraordinary moments with Jesus. What's going on? Well, usually the thing that we don't see in the scripture is time. And it's as we say yes to Jesus through our lives, repeated over and over and over, that we get to somewhere where we look back and go, oh my God, only you. Like I've gone through seasons in my life, hope this is not discouraging to you because you're pastored by me, but where I have been crying in the wilderness, where are you? Like, where are you? And then you get out the other side, and things change, and you look back, and you go, oh, my God. That person, that moment, that letter, that text message, that thing. That we see God way better in hindsight than we do in the present. This is why we need to train our eyes and our ears with the questions, God, what do you see and what do you say? Because we miss it all the time. And for so many of us, the reason we're not hearing him or the reason we're not seeing him is not because he's not speaking or he's not present. It's because we're expecting everything to happen in a moment when actually God's kingdom, Jesus said, is like a mustard seed or yeast. The two things about mustard seeds and yeast is they take their most profound effect over time. Of course, God works suddenly, and we've experienced that. But it's over time that his kingdom gets established and developed. And what's amazing about this story is we are 25 years to the starting line. And, of course, there's so much that Jesus has built in and through Heather over that time. That when it comes to your own life with Jesus and the things that he's speaking to you about, I just wonder sometimes, is the pace that we're living the thing that robs us from seeing him? That we want to click a button and get the delivery the next day. And if it's 12 hours late, we're offended. And yet God's kingdom grows in our lives in all kinds of ways, but it's slow. And it's as we keep saying yes. The reality is there have been so many moments, and I know because I've been there in Heather's life, where it was, where are you? And none of this makes sense. And did I get it all wrong? And was he ever even saying that thing? But in time, when we don't let go, we get to see his hand in and through it all. Don't miss that. Tell us a little bit about what this is actually going to look like for you now. Like, what are you actually doing? Like, next Sunday, do they all go somewhere to worship in Banbridge? How does this work?
I would say don't all go to Banbridge next Sunday. Otherwise, we might be wondering where to meet. So obviously, this is going to be a wee bit of a process. This isn't going to be that immediately we're starting services. Really, this is an announcement phase of this church plant. And so what we will do is, over the next few months, I will meet with people from LVV who maybe feel this stirring around going with us. I also will be meeting with those in the community, having conversations with people. But one of the things I feel really passionate about is how, in this phase, as exciting as it is, how do we still wait on God? I've been reading through Acts recently, and one of the interesting things I noticed in Acts chapter 1 is that in between the Ascension and Pentecost, which is the beginning or the birth of the church, God or Jesus tells the disciples, you need to wait. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit so that you're not birthing this new community in your own strength. And it's really interesting. In Acts chapter 1, it tells us that there are 120 believers at one point gathering to wait. Now, we can go over details like that, like skip over details like that when we read that in Scripture and think, well, okay, there's 120 people. But actually, the significance of that is that in terms of Jewish law, it took 120 people to form a community that had its own council. And so really what that verse is saying is there was already enough people that they could form a legitimate community, but they didn't do that. They waited on God. And so we want to be conscious of doing that. It would be really easy to get caught up in the excitement of what we're doing and not wait on him. So we're going to spend some time worshiping in Banbridge, spend some time prayer walking around the area. I'm really asking God, where do you want us to be? After the first service, quite a few people asked me, you know, do you have a venue yet? And I'm like, no. Like, actually, we want to discern that together. Where does God want us in this town? What is the building meant to be? Where is it? And more importantly, not where is the building, but who are the people that you want us to connect to? Because the church is people, as Hannah said earlier. So that's really what we'll be doing in the next few months. Obviously, next year, things will ramp up a bit and we will begin to do things and much more intentionally serve in Banbridge, connect with people through outreach events or different things. But really, for the next while, I will still be around LVV, worshiping here. And yeah, really connecting with people as we put in some of the foundational stuff that we still need to do.
Super helpful. So just to be really clear, this is not a commissioning, okay? This is you guys coming into the story in this part of the kind of phase of the process. Early 2025, we will do a commissioning where we'll lay hands on Heather, we'll pray for her, and we will send her. This is not that. And so in 2 weeks' time, if she's on a welcome team, don't be like, I thought you should be in Banbridge. Last thing, Heather, how can we get involved? What does it look like for us to partner with you and with what Jesus is doing?
Yeah, so you'll see also on the back of the card, we have said that there's three ways that you can partner with this. The first is to pray. Please be praying as we do this. I just think there's so many things that can come in opposition of those who step out and say yes to what God is wanting to do. And so please be praying for me as an individual. Pray for the group of people. We already have a tribe that's been meeting in Banbridge for a long time. And pray for some of those people who are already connected or already feeling like they're going to be a part of this. The other ways is to give. So we are going to have a giving service that's specifically around this next year. So you might want to be already asking the question, God, how is it that you want me to bless what is happening in Banbridge? How do you want me to use my finances in this way? But if that's something you're like, oh, I already know what I would want to give to this, do come and have a conversation with one of us. So you can give, you can pray, but then also you might feel stirred to be part of the team that goes. You might be somebody who is feeling like, I'm ready for an adventure. I am ready to see what it is like to be a part of a new community. And so if that is you, come and have a conversation. We can go and have a coffee and talk about what that is. So really we're asking for a 2-year commitment from those who feel stirred to go. And that is because we want whoever goes with us to be around for a while, to build up relationships with people and really to commit to being in Banbridge and serving for those 2 years.
Well, one of the things that I'm really passionate about, having helped our movement plant churches in lots of different places over the years, is how we, the sending church, posture ourselves towards a project like this. And the reality is, historically, we have done this as a movement sometimes, and the way I would describe the sending church is it being a bit like a midwife. you know, like really important at the birth, you know. But once baby's born, it's kind of handed over and not really your responsibility. And frankly, I don't think that's overly healthy, and I don't think it's right. And I think the kind of metaphor that's much better is that we actually are the parents, and that this is somewhat our responsibility. Of course, Heather's going to be sent, and she's going to actually go do the work. But for us as a community, this is not a Heather project or an Andy project. This is a Lagan Valley Vineyard project. And lots of you will feel different kind of connection levels with that. But at the very least, if you call this place home, I want to challenge you to be praying for this project. We as a church community, this might be helpful for you to know, have already committed into this year's budget £300 a month to help support Heather so that she can actually have a day and a half a week where she doesn't actually have to go and work, because there's loads of stuff behind the scenes that still needs done, and there's loads of planning, and she needs space to actually have coffee with people that want to get involved and stuff on the ground, all that sort of stuff. So as a church, we are already doing that. But like Heather said, in the new year, we will call you all to give sacrificially, to invest in the beginning of this. And like Heather said, then some of you will want to go. I get these sneaky insights into some of your opinions and thoughts about church from time to time. And there's one in the ether. I'm sure it's none of you here, but there are some people around this community that find big church, which is how people sometimes describe this, a bit boring. Like, you know, there's loads of people and it doesn't look like there's loads of need. Of course, that's not true. There are loads of needs, but it doesn't look like there are. But, you know, this big established thing, it's a bit boring. If you know anyone, it's not you, I know, but if you know anyone who's in that category, just send them to Heather. Like, what she's about to do will be lots of things, but one thing it will not be is boring. And regardless of where you live, there will be some of you that do feel stirred to go and help establish this thing, to actually be at absolute ground zero of a new community of the kingdom, serving people who need the love and life of Jesus. And it's wild and mad and all of those kinds of things. And regardless where you live, like Heather said, we'd love you to commit to that for 2 years to help establish this thing. But we know some of you will possibly feel stirred about that. And your action is just go for a coffee with her. Find out if you like her first. It's really, really important. But we'd love you to do that. Please take those cards home with you. You can fill them in and bring them back next week if you want to get a prayer email update. If you want to find out about how you can give right now, you can talk to me. At least one person asked me that after the 9:30. I'd like to just start giving. How do I do that? So you can come chat to me about that. Or if you want to explore being a part of the team, then Heather is the person that you need to talk to. Just before she prays for all of us, the point of today isn't Heather or even church planting. The point is, are we open to the voice of God in our lives? You've just heard what this journey has felt like for Heather over the last 24 odd years and how that's ramped up over the last number of months and specifically the last couple of years. But what about you? What are the things that God's maybe saying to you that you're not aware of right now? What are the things that he's said to you that you've written off because they sounded too daft or you were too incapable? Or one of the things maybe that he's asking you to get involved in that just frankly feel uncomfortable, and if you're really honest, you just don't want to, because we've all been there. But there's life with him when we say yes. That's his promise. Not that it would be comfortable, not that it would be easy, but that it would bring us life, real life. So if you're able, will you stand? I'm going to get Heather to pray for us.
Yeah, so just when I was telling the story there and I had said about sending in impossibility goals and how I sent into Compass slightly dulled down impossibility goals, I feel like there is something on that. I didn't tell that, didn't share that in the first service, but I feel like there's maybe something for those in this service that you have been somebody who you know what the impossible thing would be, but you're maybe thinking, well, I could do a version of that, but maybe a slightly dulled down version of that. And I think there's something in this moment that God's like, no, I want your yes. In the first conversation that Andy and I had about church planting, Andy told me about this girl who was exploring the call of God in her life, and she just said, the answer is yes, God. Now, what's the question? And so it's, how do we have these heart postures where we say, yes, God, before I even know what it is, yes. But also, how do we not dull down what feels like the impossible thing? Because for me, a retreat center would have probably been a okay thing, but it probably wouldn't have felt impossible, whereas a church probably does feel slightly impossible. And so if that is you, I'd love for you just to open up your hands in front of you. If we all just close our eyes, and we're just going to pray in this moment. Yes, God, we just thank you that you call us to impossible things. Things that feel way beyond ourselves. Things that we could not do if you do not go with us. And so, God, we pray and we repent as a community for the times where we have said, I will do the dulled down thing. I will do the lesser version of this. God, we pray, would you help us as a community to step into the impossible? I thank you, God, for what you are setting off in people's lives today, for the dreams that are going to be birthed even out of this moment from this community. And so, God, we just pray this week, would you speak to us? Speak to us about where we're at and what you want us to do. God, we love you. And we say yes. We say yes. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys. You can grab a seat. Would you thank Heather? Give, pray, go. Those are your three things. Take the cards home. Talk with the Lord about it. Connect with us about it. Don't forget, 6:30 for tea and coffee. Seek will be starting at 7 tonight. If you have little ones in a little party or big party, if you could grab those, grab them as quickly as you can, that would be good. The team, we've ran slightly over. Have a brilliant Sunday. Thanks so much for being here. See you soon. Thanks a lot.